I don't know if I would quite identify myself as a gamer. However, I have always or often been a fan of video games, sometimes more than others. And currently, my phone provides a few nice, relaxing games when I need that urge to be distracted by flashing lights and honestly just mind-numbing entertainment. And I remember when I was first introduced to this sensation. It was when my older brother got our home's first Nintendo. And this sparked, maybe not quite a love, but definitely a deep appreciation for the entertainment value. And thankfully, I don't think my mind has been too rotted away. But this appreciation then led me to my actual favorite game, Pokemon. And so I saved up my own money. I shoveled driveways, I mowed the lawn, I did chores for my parents, and eventually, after a couple birthdays and Christmases, I earned enough money to buy a Game Boy and the game. And one of the things that I enjoyed about this game is that you collect and you train different Pokemon, these creatures, and over time your character builds experience and you collect and your Pokemon get bigger and stronger, and everything grows. But no matter how many times I played, I eventually got myself to a point where I had either beaten the game and ran through the last boss 4 or 5 times, or maybe I didn't even get that far, but for whatever reason, I just wanted to start again. I hit the reset button in the game, and I worked on my character anew and in a different way. Now, I had more knowledge of the game, and I knew a little bit of what to expect. And I had learned from my previous experience, but my character was brand new. And I only had the starting materials. And the reset button, even if it was a little daunting because you had to do all that work over again, it was also exciting because you got to do it new. And now perhaps you aren't into video games like I am, but we do tend to hit reset buttons in our lives. You can think of a potter who's making a piece of clay. And when it's not quite exactly what they like, they smash it down into a big ball of clay again and work to form it anew. Or if there have been weeds that are too overgrown or just out of season plants in your garden, you may just rip the whole thing out to plant a new and fresh garden, possibly just more appropriate for the season. Or maybe when we finish books, even a beloved book, we set it down, but we pick it back up to re-begin it, to make the characters come back alive in our lives. There are so many different ways that we can start something new, and even if it's not exactly starting over, like the sense that my character had in Pokemon, it's a way of being born again. Now, the translation of the phrase that I read this morning out of John was born from above, but the Greek word holds a wider meaning of above or anew or born again. All of these are valid and held together in that word. In perhaps its most well-known kind of Christian usage in the world, and I'm going to quote here, born again is a phrase used by many Protestants to describe the phenomenon of gaining faith in Jesus Christ. It is an experience when everything they have been taught as Christians becomes real and they developed a direct and personal relationship with God. Now, that may or may not be the brand of Christianity and the flavor that I have, but I think there's some value in this, even if it makes me a little uncomfortable with the way the phrase born again has been used in contemporary society. But yet that is what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus says it pretty clearly here, that one must be born again, born anew, born from above, to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night, and Jesus tells him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, or born again, or born anew." To which Nicodemus is utterly confused. Nicodemus goes on to question, how is this possible? Because life usually begins at birth, and being born, biologically speaking, is pretty much a one-time event. And this is where Nicodemus misses, and he gets hung up again on the again line in a very literal and unimaginative sense of all this word conveys. However, Jesus makes it clear that there is more going on here than a simple biological birth or even some miraculous re-entering of the womb. But as often happens in our Gospels, Jesus is speaking in parables and deeper meanings, and he's using wordplay to convey more than we first read. And so Nicodemus misses these multiple and complicated meanings that Jesus is conveying, because this word doesn't mean begin born again or anew, but it means born again, born anew, and born above. And Jesus clarifies that he is talking not just about that, but also being born of water in our baptism, being born of the Spirit, which is born anew. It is certainly from above, and yes, even if it makes some of us a little uncomfortable, it is to be born again. Born again and of the Spirit, to be transformed, to live into the kingdom, to see the kingdom of God. It requires us to be born again. And so while there are many ways to understand this phrase, Reformed theologians tend to believe something along the lines of being born again refers to the inward working of the Spirit, a regeneration, a calling that is within each and every one of us. And in reference to this regeneration, this being born again, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says that it is an effectual calling, is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills. He persuades us and enables us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. The language for some of us may be hard to understand from this relatively old thing, much like Nicodemus didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying. But from this Westminster Shorter Catechism, I think there are a few things that we need to pay attention to. And first is that God is at work. God's Spirit is working. And God is calling us, calling each individual, like God called Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Sarai at the point that we read this morning, to leave their land and to do something new and dangerous. Second is that we make mistakes. We are imperfect people. We struggle. We do our best. But we also know that there are times where we may need to start over. And thirdly, we know that our wills are renewed because we know Jesus. And we have come to know him more because God so loved the world. God so loved you that Jesus was born and taught, and we can learn about him through the scriptures and the stories that we pass down, through our worship and our education, through our ministry opportunities of loving our neighbors. There are many ways that we continue to learn and continue to grow. One biblical scholar paraphrases being born again as an invitation to transformation offered to whosoever, meaning anyone, who believes. It is an invitation to allow Jesus Christ to enter our hearts and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and in so doing to work in the world. And I do not believe that this being born again in this manner is a one-time event. That happened one Sunday morning, say 5 years ago, but it is a continual process of growth. And after all, any newborn requires a fair amount of help as they grow up. It is a continual calling as we continue to strive for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven as an earthly reality, as we continue to trust in Christ alone and be followers of Jesus where justice is known, where all God's children, everyone in the world, is loved and knows that love and has food and safety, where dignity and access to resources is prevalent, where we do not only meet the needs of the least of these, but we allow everyone to thrive and to flourish. The kingdom of God sounds incredible and an almost impossible dream, but is it that much more far-fetched than what we hear Jesus tell Nicodemus, that we must be born again? God's only begotten Son was given to the world so that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life. And so we as a church in many ways are going through a new birth ourselves, being born of the Spirit. This morning we will be ordaining and installing our elders and deacons to guide and to lead, to care for our church and our community and the world. And while they are not completely different than they were, the compositions of our session and our board of deacons are going to be different. They'll be born anew as we install those officers. And in this interim time, as we move forward, we've been continuing to grow and to vision, and throughout our revision process, we are seeking to find new ways that our church can be born anew in the community where God calls us to be. Many of us are participating in this process, and I know Randy is going to say a little bit more about some chances to do so in the future. But as a church, and as a people, and even as individuals, we are all called. Like Abram and Sarai were called to leave their homeland, we are called to intentionally discern and grow, to constantly be born again, be born anew, and be born above and by the Spirit, so that our lives and our hearts can be shaped. And while we are not doing a complete reset, we do continue to examine what we need to do to move forward. And so I'm going to challenge all of you, and specifically all of our new and continuing officers who are being installed, but even those who are going to continue to serve, but all of us. I challenge you to be born of the Spirit, to allow your hearts to be open to Jesus, and to allow your lives to be constantly renewed and regenerated for the work of the kingdom of God, because God so loved us, and we can share that with the world. Amen.